Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina astafa. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, from amongst the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the ummah with the name Ad-Darun Nafi'. Ad-Darun Nafi'. Two names have been mentioned. Generally, both of these attributes are mentioned together. Ad-Darun Nafi'u. And the meaning of Ad-Darun Nafi'u is that if any harm or difficulty comes to a person, then that harm and difficulty can only come by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And an-nafi' from nafa'a, it means benefit. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also the bestower of all the benefits that we receive. So any harm or benefit that comes to an individual, it is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ad-dar means the distressor, and an-nafi' means the bestower of benefits. These two attributes are very important for us to understand as part of aqeedah. This actually lays down the foundation of aqeedah, the beliefs of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'at, the aqaid of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'at. One needs to understand that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can give you benefit. And if any difficulty comes, then that difficulty or harm also comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for an example, both of these qualities are mentioned together, and both of these qualities are very important qualities. For an example, if you have some money with you and they are a group of people or even one individual who has some information that you have some money and they want to rob you and steal that amount from you, and so he may come to you forcefully wanting that amount of money from you. Now what you can do in self-defense is also to harm that individual, to push him, to punch him, whatever, because that is your self-defense. That is your milkiyat, it is something that you own. And so in the right capacity, some action can be taken also to harm that individual. So from this we understand that this quality is also something very, very important that is needed. Imagine if there is a person who's only got the quality to benefit us, and there is no ability in him to defend himself, and for that he might show a bit of aggression, a bit of pushing, he might harm somebody, then everybody will take advantage of that individual. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah who is there to benefit you. And because He is Hakim, the most wise, sometimes if there's some difficulty that comes to you, that is also in His knowledge, perhaps a bit of difficulty comes to you, and you might quickly turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so in any case, any difficulty, any harm that comes to a person, that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any benefit that comes to you, that is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when we talk, maybe it seems very, very obvious. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Nowadays, especially in the modern world that we live in, we have to be very, very careful to the things that we listen. And if you can, this is not a fatwa, if you can, it is better for a person to physically come to a masjid and attend the lectures and the bayans that are there. Why? Because of the barakat of that environment, the malaika are there in the masjid, the rahmat of Allah descends. There are so many things that are out there in the internet that are there to corrupt the individuals, that are there to confuse you and to eat away your iman and to create shukuk and doubts in your mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Allahu Akbar. There are so many things. Recently somebody was saying to me that there was this Muslim man, mashallah, with a beard and everybody, very long beard when you see him also. And now, one of the family members, and this is a revert person I'm talking about, he has stopped praying Salah. He has stopped praying Jumu'ah. Why? Because of an influence, external influence, by surfing into the wrong side of the internet's wrong websites. And shak and shubha, confusion is put in your mind. This is the time that we live in today. It seems very obvious to us that benefit only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and harm only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is a fundamental point of aqeedah that we need to understand. So for an example, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala an, and gave him nasiha and said to him, beautiful words. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, wa'alam, O Ibn Abbas, understand. Wa'alam anna al-ummata, if everyone from the ummat, law ijtama'at ala an yanfa'uka bi shay'in, if they all unite with the intention that we will all benefit you. How many Muslims are there in the world? Can somebody help me? Shabir bhai. 2 billion. 2 billion plus, inshallah. If 2 billion people decide, this entire ummah, that we are going to benefit one man, 2 billion, all say no, unanimous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لَمْ يَنْفَعُكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا قَدْ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. They cannot benefit you at all, but only to that level which Allah has decreed. If only Allah wants, then the 2 billion people can benefit this individual. Otherwise, there is no way of giving benefit to him. How Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is teaching the Sahabi, understand? Nobody can benefit you except for Allah. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَإِنْ اجْتَمِعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَذُرُّوكَ, if they all gather to harm you, لَمْ يَذُرُّوكَ, nobody can harm you, إِلَّا قَدْ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكَ except for that much that which Allah has decreed harm for you. Harm cannot come to you. Only that much which Allah has decreed for you. And this is something which is very, very important for us to understand. Shaitan has misguided one chunk of humanity, one good portion of humanity, when they don't understand these qualities of who is the one that gives you benefit and who is the one that gives you harm. So if you look at humanity, who are the most elite from amongst human beings? They are the messengers, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want to go very far back from the time of Adam alayhi salam, just before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A prophet whose name is Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him as a test for humanity. As a test for humanity. And that test was taken by the absence of a father. Isa alayhi salam came into existence without a father. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also loaded him with mighty miracles. Allah loaded him with mighty miracles. You know, bringing somebody out from the grave and he is alive and speaking. Designing something from clay and then blowing into it and it flies and it becomes a bird. Someone who is blind and Isa alayhi salam touches the eyes and mashallah, the sockets and the eyes that are there are healed. Bas. Any open wound and he would touch you and mashallah, there is shifa that is given. People were amazed. But he came in this dunya as a test. It's a nishani, Allah is testing you. That are you amazed and you follow shaitan or what? And so, one great portion of humanity, shaitan misled them. And they took him to be a man who gives benefit and a man who can remove harm also from you. So if any difficulty that comes to you, you will often find they'll say, well, take the name of the Lord Jesus and you will get salvation and you will survive. Things like that. You hear such things all the time. When in reality, benefit and harm can only come from who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is such a fundamental aqeedah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran made Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declare this in simple words. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses and Allah said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to the people, Kulla amliku li nafsi naf'an wala darran illa ma sha Allah. I am not malik, I have no ownership of myself. Never mind that I own that which will benefit you or harm you. Nothing. I cannot even benefit myself or bring harm to myself, but only by the permission of Allah. Openly, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that. What a declaration. Of course, we need to understand that the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is an embodiment of mercy. And wherever he went, it was the full attraction of the rahmat of Allah. And therefore, whenever he would make dua, it was always accepted. Of course, we understand that. But independently, for someone to think that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can remove calamity, or Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can benefit independently, this would be opening the doors of shirk. This would be opening the doors of because it goes contrary to the teachings of the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this with regards to the greatest personality. And one needs to remember, the greater you are, the more you have to look after yourself. The more you have to look after yourself. The greater your position, you have to be very sensitive. It's very, very important. And so, for an example, you will even find today, after Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, if you look at the ranking of Sahaba ikiram ajma'in, from amongst the Sahaba, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned one Sahabi of his. And he said that my ummah will be tested by my one Sahabi. What did he say? The words of Huzur alayhi salam. My ummah will be tested by my one Sahabi. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, like how the Christians were tested in the time of Isa alayhi salam, the people then were tested by Isa alayhi salam, the same is with regards to my one Sahabi. You have two extremes when it comes to the personality of Isa alayhi salam. Am I right or am I wrong? One group of people, they elevate his status so much that they make him into a son of God. One extreme. And the other extreme is they hate him so much that they wanted to kill him. And they said he is illegitimate. And aliyadhu billah, he is the false messiah. He is the Dajjal. And that is who? The Ahle Yahud. The Ahle Yahud. So you have two extremes with regards to one personality. Huzur alayhi salam said, in my ummah, from my one companion, this ummah will be tested. And that there will be two extremes in understanding this Sahabi of mine. There will be two extremes. And who is that Sahabi? Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. Who is it? Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. That there is one group during the time of Hazrat Ali's Khilafat, we've covered this. You had the Khawarij. You had the Khawarij. Aliyadhu billah, they broke off from Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala's army and they said that he is the enemy of Allah, he is not a Muslim, and we should do jihad against him, and we should kill him, and we should do this. And anybody who is with Hazrat Ali, they are non-Muslims. So you had one group that emerged, and that group is the Khawariji group. What is it? Khawariji. So that is one extreme. And then the other extreme came in the form of another group, in simple words for us to understand, is the Shia group. What is it? The Shia group. And this Shia group took another approach. They elevated him and they loved him and they elevated and elevated and elevated him so much that they made him into an infallible imam. What did they make him into? An infallible imam. Infallibility is the quality of Anbiya alayhim salam. They are ma'asum. They made him an infallible imam, not only an infallible imam, but all of the 12 children that are the descendants of Hazrat Ali, well after Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Hussein, all of the children come from Hazrat Hussein. So all of the imma, the 12, which the Shia believe, are all infallible. What are they? So much so, it is an article of their faith that the imams that are with Hazrat Ali and who are the children of Hazrat Hussein, the 12 imams, they are higher in status than Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, basically from every Nabi except for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so that is why you have a group now. Instead of taking the name of Allah slowly this crept into the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at also. And now you will find a lot of people saying, when you have difficulty, what do you say? Nare Hadri Ya Ali, Ya Ali. What do they say? And you say, Ya Ali Madad. What do you say? Ya Ali. Have you heard of this? Or am I talking nonsense here? Bhai, Ali bhai, am I talking okay? Yeah, you've heard, ne? Yeah, some of you have such blank faces as if even I doubt myself. And what do they say? Ya Ali Madad. What do they say? Ya Ali. And they go to the extreme. They go to the extreme that you take the name of Hazrat Ali and every musibat, every calamity, because you are directly calling upon Hazrat Ali and he is there to help you. That's why you say, Ya Ali Madad, Ya Ali Madad. Not only you say Ya Ali, or you say Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. You say Ya Hussein or Ya Ali. So these are the terms. This also crept in, crept into one other group that are, well, they are from the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at. When I say that, they are from the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at because they are not Shias. But they also started saying, Ya Ali, Ya Ali. Ya Ali Madad, Ya Ali Madad. Why is it that nobody says Ya Abu Bakr Madad? Or Ya Umar Madad? Why? Ya Uthman Madad, Ya Abu Huraira Madad, Ya Hamza Madad? We don't say that. But only selectively you go to Hazrat Ali. This is the prophecy of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that from my Sahaba, there is one Sahabi who is going to be a means by which the iman of my ummah will be tested. And that is why Huzur alayhi salam said, the batch that will go to Jannah is the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at. What did he say? The batch that will go to Jannah is who? The Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at. Ma ana alayya wa ashabi. Those that follow me and my companions. So the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at are those people who don't touch the two extremes. But they are in the middle, who love the Ahle Bayt, who love Hazrat Ali, and they love also Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'in, and they don't take anybody as infallible, because Nabuwat ends at Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam. And this is how Shaitan works. So Shaitan works in a very systematic way. So for an example, he will not make you miss your farz namaz. He will not make you miss your farz namaz. Understand this very important mas'ala. He will not make you miss your farz namaz. In fact, he might even remind you. Wake up, it's Zohar. Wake up, it's Fajr. He might even remind you. He likes to work from the foundation. What does he do? He likes to work from the foundation. He doesn't like this one-off, you know, benefits. One-off benefit. He doesn't like that. He wants results. So how does he work? Slowly, he makes a Muslim, a believer, lazy. So when he becomes lazy, in his lifetime, nawafil come out. What comes out? Nawafil. So now, when he prays five times a day salah, he does not pray his nawafil. So what shaitan tells him? Nafal is nafal. What does shaitan tell him? Nafal is nafal. You have a choice. So this person in his entire life now, he's 50, 60, he doesn't even think of his nafal namaz. You know, three rakats maghrib, two rakats sunnah and two rakats nafal. It's not even in his mind to read two rakats nafal. Out. So now, he's moved him out from two rakats nafal. Then after 3 months, 4 months, he pushes it to the next level. Then he says, take sunnate ghair muakkada out of his life. Sunnate ghair muakkada. So now, he doesn't read the sunnah. So when he comes for asr namaz, he will not read the sunnah. Or when he comes for isha, he will not read the first four, because they are ghair muakkad. So now, the ghair muakkad slowly is out of his life. So this goes on for about 6 months. So nafil is out, ghair muakkad is out. Now, he is pushing his way on top to muakkada. What is it? Muakkada. So now slowly, he says, oh, you've got work to do at home, so after your farz namaz, go home quickly. So he pushes him to go home quickly, and by the time he gets home, he had the intention, I'm going to pray namaz at home, but he makes him busy and he's occupied. Now slowly his sunnate muakkada is missing. What is it? So now he's in the habit of missing his sunnate muakkada. Then the final push is with your witr. What is it? Witr. Then he tries the witr salah, you know, forget your witr. So now he says, you know what, I'll wake up in the night and I'll pray witr. For 3 weeks he's been sleeping, not praying, he still thinks he's going to wake up. Right? So now witr is out of his equation. Now when all is clear, what is left is only farz. What is it? Farz. Then how he plays with farz is that slowly he makes him miss his jamaat. Sometimes makes him delay his salah. Delay, 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 delay. Until sometimes it's qaza. And he says, oh, it's qaza, qaza. Then slowly a time comes when this person has no value for salah. So how does shaitan work? When he wants to put somebody in that pattern of shirk, he chooses a pious person. What does he do? He chooses a pious person. And so you will find people today, in many parts of the world, they will kiss the grave of pious people. And they'll say, we are only kissing, there's nothing wrong, we kiss the Quran, I kiss my mother, you know, I kiss my children, I'm kissing a pious man. You're not kissing a pious man, you're kissing the grave, aren't you? So shaitan says, it's fine, you're kissing, there's nothing wrong, you're not worshipping, you're kissing. This is how he pushes. And then slowly, from kissing, it's prostration. What is it?
Prostration.
Prostration. I have seen some individuals that adopt the position of a dog, and they become like dogs, and then they enter the shrine barking, and they are saying, we come to you and we love you so much that we are your dogs. And they are actually barking. And it's not one person. There's a line of people, they adopt the position of a dog. You know how like a dog walks? That's how they are. And they become dogs and they enter. And people are looking and, you know, saying, mashallah, you know, these are the real people who have got the love for this great buzrug, you know. This is how shaitan plays with the mind. What does he do? Shaitan plays with the... Slowly, slowly thereafter, a person's aqidah changes and he thinks, now he is taking the name of that person and not the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And rather what happens is that the heart is focused always towards one window and not directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in His beautiful names, the attributes, that I am ad-darun nafi'. Who am I? I am ad-darun nafi'. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. If you ask, you ask who? Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And if you want any kind of help, you take help from who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Just for us to understand, my respected brothers, sometimes when we were young, we've been to this puppet show. We've seen puppets, haven't we? This puppet show. And so when you're young, when you actually see the puppets and the hands moving and the legs moving and the puppets are talking and kicking each other or dancing or whatever, you're too young and you actually feel that the puppets are alive and they are animated. So it's the real thing that is in front of you. But the children are not mature enough to understand it is not the puppets, the reality it is the puppeteer. What is it? The reality it is the puppeteer, the one from the back who is pulling the strings. What is he doing? Who is pulling the strings? That puppeteer, the one who is pulling the strings, in Arabic we would call him fa'ile hakiki. What is it? Fa'ile hakiki. The one who is the true source of all actions. The one who is the true source of all actions. Similarly, what happens, that when people are immature in their spirituality, when people are immature in their spirituality, what shaitan makes them think is that all the people that are around him and that are and have the control, the people who have this honor and they control everything, the mindset becomes that these are the people of power and these are the people who can do things. These are the people who can do things. When in reality, fa'ile hakiki is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not these people that do anything. And so what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us from these two beautiful names is that whatever happens to you, your condition should be first, that first you run to Allah, first you run to the musalla, first you run to the masjid, talk to Allah, pray to Allah, make dua to Allah. Once you have had that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then after that go to your asbab, the sources that you want to use and deplete, that they are there to assist you. Go to your friends, family, if there's any difficulty, then you go to them. But unfortunately, the paradigm for us is very opposite, the complete opposite. What we do is we run to the sources, asbab first, and then at the end, who do we go to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is wrong. First you go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for an example, you know, you've got a headache. One is attitude is, well, if I've got a headache, I'm not going to take paracetamol. Allah is the one who's given me a headache. You know, why should I take medication? I'm not going to eat. If Allah wants to feed me, He can feed me. It doesn't work that way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you connect to me first, but I have also put benefit for you in the things that I have created, in the things that I have given to you. So you stand up, make that effort, show the initiative, and I will show you the results. I will show you the results. So this is what we have to do. So now everyone in this world are all superficial and are actually puppets. What are they? Puppets. The real fa'ile hakiki, the real fa'ile hakiki is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who does everything. And so we have to be very careful. We are to love awliyaullah, buzrugani deen, our mashayikh, our scholars, because of their taqwa. They are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can ask them that please make dua for us and our duas. Allah is the one who is going to accept their duas. All that is there. But ultimately our focus should be that who is the one who gives you results? Allah is the one who gives you benefit. Allah is the one who gives you harm. Battle of Badr. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ill-equipped army. 313 only. A few swords, a few horses, camels, a few. 313, 3-1 with this powerful army. The mushrikeen of Makkah were so confident that today we will annihilate Islam. What are we going to do? Wipe the Muslims out from the face of this earth. Islam was only in the form of 313. Islam was only in the form of 313. Who are they to defend? The Battle of Badr. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of Badr fell into sajda, doing dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All night Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was crying, making dua, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until Hazrat Abu Bakr would come and see him, he's still in sajda, crying, groaning, asking Allah, Ya Allah, now these are 313, if they are defeated, who is going to be there? Allah's Nabi became so emotional that the words of the dua are there, Allah, if these 313 are to die, who is there to worship you? And he became so emotional, such an attachment. So he cut away from all the puppets of this dunya. Where does he go to? Straight to Allah. Until Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq came and he says, Ya Rasulullah, bas. You have asked your Allah enough now, enough. Please save your energy, enough. And picked Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam up And he said, Insha'Allah, your dua is accepted. And then the next day there is a battle, a fight. 313 only Sahaba fighting an entire army that came from Makkah or Mukarramah. Now when you go to the source first, that is Allah, Allah helped him so much. It wasn't 313, it was the Malaika that ascended, that descended, they came down and they assisted Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Malaika came down and they helped Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a very important lesson for us, my respected brothers. Calamity will come, difficulty will come. That comes from where? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a person to think that, you know what, I should have had this, I could have done this, no. It was already written in your taqdeer. Khair, whatever happens, happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who benefits you and Allah is the one who harms you. Don't go into other avenues. Even if a person tells you that, you know, you're another man, you're a deviant, you're this, you're that. No, it's fine. This is our aqeedah. And this aqeedah is taught to us also in Suratul Fatiha. Just to conclude, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Just for some of you that might be in Alim class, just for your benefit of Arabic, for you to understand, Iyaka na'budu, it's ajeeb. When an object comes before the action, the verb, then the verb is completely locked onto that object. So for an example, if somebody says Nasartu Zaydan, that I helped Zayd. Nasartu Zaydan, I helped Zayd. There is a possibility that somebody might say, okay, you helped Zayd, that is the message you gave us. But you might have even helped somebody else. You haven't said it. I helped Zayd, but there's a possibility you might have helped also somebody. But if you say Zaydan Nasartu, you know, Zayd, I only helped. Zayd, I only helped. You put the maf'ul before, and you put the object in front. So this is locking the action completely onto that object. That Zayd only I helped. What is it? Zayd only I helped. This is the same pattern in Iyaka Na'bud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say Na'buduka. Na'buduka. That we are worshipping you. We are worshipping you. If he said Na'buduka, there is a possibility that we are worshipping you, but there is also a possibility that with worshipping you, somebody is worshipping somebody else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes the pattern. And here, even the makharij becomes a bit difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Iyya, the ka comes before the fa'al. The ka comes before the fa'al. And the ka comes with iya. Only you. Only you. Na'bud, we worship. Amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only you we worship. That means the act of worship is entirely and completely locked inside the fact that there is none worthy of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's impossible to worship anything else. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, okay, you worship me then. Then Allah says, no, worship me. Wa iyyaka. Wa iyyaka. And only you. Again, the same style, same pattern. Nasta'een, O Allah, we seek help from, we ask help from. Only you, nobody else. So this is taught to us in the Quran. Who can give you nafa? Allah. Now, ta'weez that you put on. Somebody might say, you've got a ta'weez on. What is it? Ta'weez. Ta'weez is jaiz, provided that ta'weez is written in such a way that in it are the prophetic dua and supplications, Asma'ul Husna, or the dua, or the ayats of the Quran, or whatever that is mentioned in the hadith. That form of ta'weez is jaiz. Of course, if it is ta'weez in which, you know, you've got names of people, and if you've got other things that are not right, then this ta'weez is guna. This ta'weez is guna also. And even if somebody gives you something, the complete protection is given to you by who?
Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, ad-darun nafi'. Ad-darun nafi'. One hadith to conclude. Beautiful hadith. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ajaban li amri al-mu'min. Amazing is the condition of a believer. Amazing is the condition of a believer. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a believer is never a loser. A believer is never a loser. In asabathu sarra, fashakara, fakana khayran lahu. If some good things come to him, if good fortune touches him, then when Allah has given him blessings, he's doing shukr. Because he's doing shukr, Allah will give him more. And therefore, that is also good for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ الدَّرَّاءِ. And if a calamity or a difficulty comes to him, he's ill or something happened or some calamity came to him. فَصَابَرَ. What does he do? The sabr. He does sabr. Then, because of sabr, Allah is also rewarding him. فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. So Allah's Nabi is saying, for a believer, he is never a loser. For him, it is only a win-win situation. For him, it is only a win-win situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us death upon iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with all the blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove all the calamities from us and give us complete afiyat, inshaAllah. Muraqaba kar leh, 2 minute ke liye bhai. Muraqaba is also very, very important. The process of cleansing the heart, keeping the shaitan away from us, inshallah. Do concentrate so that the heart becomes pure. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا رب.